timeless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till
it's
too late. The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
And here we are, folks, ladies and gentlemen, Rick Adams with you. July 14th, yes, indeed. July 14th has some very interesting connotations to it. As many of you know, it would be known as what now in history? Let me see if anybody knows. They can remember what it would be. I think it's Bastille Day, is that right? Yeah, July 14th, a few hundred years ago, and it's the holiday for many celebrating the storming of the Bastille, a military fortress and a prison on July 14th, 1789. And that was a violent uprising that many of you know that helped usher in the commune of the French Revolution, the Bankster, gangster, criminal elite, Rothschild, terrorist revolution over France, the so-called aristocracy. And we know that they killed tons of people. It symbolized the, if you will, the tyranny of not the French monarchy so much, but it symbolized the tyranny of those who were above the monarchy. So today, you probably will hear a lot about Bastille Day. And King Louis, I guess his name was, what, the 16th, and his queen, Marie Antoinette. I'm sure you've heard that name before. Well, I just thought I'd bring that up to open up the show, to let you know that we, of course, are not celebrating Bastille Day, and we don't intend to. But, you know, there are many who are silently, and many who are quietly, and yet some quite boastfully, because it's a day of upheaval, a day of revolution, not against the super rich, obviously, but by the super rich, against the monarchies of the nations of the world that stood in the way of the sons and daughters of the wicked one, the Kenites. And, you know, all of this is going to end very shortly in one city on this planet, which right from the beginning of God's creation was his favorite city. That's a Jerusalem. And that, of course, has been now taken over and occupied illegally by the synagogue of Satan, the very people who have absolutely no business to be in that city, folks. No right, no business, no privilege to be there, calling it their city of God, their city of refuge. Judgment will come upon that city. Make no mistake about that. If you go to the book of Revelation, the very end of the Bible, in chapter 16, you will find some of the things that will happen and befall that city, the city of Babylon in the end times, a city which controls all the nations, all the cities and the kingdoms of the world through its system of what we call Cain's identifying mark, the mark of the beast. It's on the head, in the head, and it's in the hand. Those who believe in it, those who accept Satan as Messiah when he comes, the sixth trump, and those who do his work, those who live by his code of unethics, his banking system particularly. And that day will come upon us like almost a thief in the night. It will come when we least expect it. Just like 9/11, which was perpetrated by the same seed line, the same lineage. For in that seed line, of course, all the blood of all those that has been shed in the earth has been attributed to that evil seed line of Satan himself, the serpent in the garden. So in the book of Revelation, in chapter 16, we find the vials being poured out on the earth. The vials are God's judgments, and he's pouring out a bunch of them, like seven of them. And he says he gathered together into a place that in the Hebrew is known as Megiddo, Armageddon, the gathering place. That's his battle in the very end. That's what it means. And this seventh angel poured out his vial into the air and onto the earth. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, indeed from the throne, saying, "It is finished, it is done." And now what's going to happen to that city? And there were what? Voices and thunders and lightning. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. Friends, we're hearing about earthquakes now as never before. We're hearing about tremors. We're hearing about volcanic eruptions. And these are the birth pangs. These are the birth pangs of the end times that Jesus foretold himself. And the prophets did as well. In the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, in the book of John, Luke, all of the Gospels basically refer to judgment and the day of judgment. Mark particularly and Matthew particularly speak of that day when there will be the signs on the earth that will lead to this tumult, this great day of destruction. So we're going to see, it says, an incredible, a huge earthquake. God knows how high on that Richter scale. It may be over 10, 12, goodness knows. But it was since as had never been since the beginning of this earth and heaven age. And so mighty an earthquake, and so great, we're told in the King James Version of the Bible. And that great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations, all the nations that were under her control, fell. And great Babylon, Babylon the Great, came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Wow. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon that great evil city a great hailstorm out of heaven. The stones would be weighing probably 150 to 180 pounds, these hailstones. Can you imagine the damage that would do? Boy, I can imagine it, but I certainly don't want to be there, and I certainly don't want to see it. The leaders of that city, Jesus condemned, the rulers, those who fled to that city, calling themselves Judah and are not, but do lie, and are of the what? Are of the synagogue of Satan. From such you must turn away. You don't want to be a part of it. Now, there may be some true Judahites there, as it says in the Gospels and in Jeremiah, the good figs as well as the bad figs. But you know what? If there are the good figs and you happen to be one of them, you could be standing at ground zero and not be touched. Isn't that amazing how God has the power to protect against the elements? He did that before King Nebuchadnezzar with the three Hibernians, you know, in the den of lions. He protected them from the furnace, the fiery furnace, seven times hotter than hell, because he was the fourth one in with the other three. He was and is a fire. He was the fire because he is the consuming fire. And, you know, that's why the so-called Holocaust theory is an incredible theory in and of itself, and yet it reveals much about those who concocted it. It is a theory that deals with burning and fire and brimstone. And yet that is the one thing that Jesus himself, the Father himself, tells us shall be the end of this age. And the end of this earth and heaven system, when he burns the earth, purges it, not the whole planet, not to destroy the elements of it, but to destroy the system. That's why Jerusalem is cursed, and there can never be peace. Never be peace in that city of end time prophecy until the Prince of Peace comes personally, because his blood is still on that ground. That's right. The shed blood of Yeshua Messiah is still on the ground. It has to be vindicated. It has to be purged, the entire city, purged of all of the vile and satanic and evil elements. And that will be done. No temple, because he is the temple, you see, the fake temple, Satan himself, in his temple, in his body, pretending to be Jesus. All of that will be gone in the flash of an eye. So let us ponder these important thoughts today. Why? Well, because a little bit later on, I hope to be able to read to you some of the interesting stories, I really do, that are now emanating from that government of that mini state of terror in the Middle East, which calls itself, I believe, Israel. Well, there is a fake and there is a real. There is a true and there is a false. Right now, the whole world, essentially, is worshiping at the mouth of that beast, that evil system that is in Jerusalem. Now, if I sound harsh in my words to first-time listeners, say, what is he talking about? He sounds like an anti-Semite, like a bigot. Well, you don't know very much about God and the scriptures, if you do. Makes it very plain who his people are and who his people are not. There's a difference, the difference between light and darkness. But there is a group of people on the earth from that seed line in Genesis 3:16 and Genesis 4. We can trace that seed line that says it is the seed line of God today. They tell us they are of God. They say they worship the same God we do. They just don't accept God. They don't accept Jesus. Now, you can't do that. You can't do that saying you're a Judahite and saying you believe in God, but not Jesus Christ. No, there's something wrong with that picture. Very wrong with it. In fact, it is wrong. So what is this business today, folks? What is this business today about we are the state of Israel? We are the Israelis or Israelites. They don't say they're Israelites. They say we are the Israelis. Isn't that interesting? In every lie that seems to be the truth, you will find a bit here and a bit there and another trace here and another trace there of the lies that are being spread by them. And I was just reading, you know, I was reading a little bit of history about where these tribes went. The tribes of true Israel when they were dispersed out of captivity. That final captivity in that pre-AD age, okay? And actually, they were found to be quite, shall we say, in one captivity, that is the 10 northern tribes of Israel were found to be under Assyrian captivity. And when they were finally released out of that bondage, and Sennacherib was done with them, they managed to go someplace. Now, we know that they did cross these mountains, the Caucasus Mountains, and they traversed and went to what would be known as the vestiges of the Roman Empire as well. And the Roman Empire was in great decay, as we also know, I think most of us. Roman Empire was being destroyed from within. Similarly to America today, although it was not in any way a, shall we say, beatified empire, because it was an empire. It was not a republic any longer. It had traversed and left its first estate, and it became a degenerate and perverted regime. And there were wars and rumors of wars, and there were all kinds of conquests and occupations, similar to what we are experiencing today. Very modern parallels. But you know what's interesting? what's most interesting is where they went, the various tribes. We hear a lot about the Parthian Empire and at its apex, and that was probably around A.D., oh, I would say about 100, 150 A.D., and who these people were that were now crossing across Europe and coming into these vestiges of the Roman Empire that would collapse. Well, many of them were known as Goths and Gauls, you know, like the French, de Gaulle, that name Gaul, and the Scythians and the Visigoths and so forth and so on. These are the people who inherited these lands of the Roman Empire and the rise of these tribes. Those who claimed to be of Judah were not. They were not with them. Although they traversed with many of the tribes because they also came out of that Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire of the end times today is essentially the same. Babbling, confusion, perversion, captivity of the mind. Today, this people, our people, don't even know who they are, who they represent, their identity. They don't even have an inkling of a clue. They think they are just simply Gentiles or Gentiles. They think they are Goy. And those who call themselves Jews are the Israelites. That is probably the greatest deception of all time. But there is another deception in this final generation, the generation of the bad fig tree that Jesus cursed and denounced and in every way just totally denigrated because it would be the bellwether of all end time prophecy. And that, of course, is a lie having to do with fire once again. And it deals with the Holocaust theory, persecution, unique suffering, unique persecution by those terrible, terrible Germans, those terrible people who are largely, in fact, of the tribe of Judah. So somebody somewhere along the line has been trying to substitute himself for another people and calling himself that people, which they claim has been attacking and destroying them, when in fact it is the other way around. Those who are calling themselves Judah actually are at war, not only with Judah in particular, but with the house of Israel, killing off our people as never before in this past century. And we spoke about it last week with Professor Matt Johnson, the greatest genocide of all. Right now, though, I want to prepare for you just the beginning of a, I think, an excellent audio. If we could bring it up where we start. And I think the gentleman here does a pretty good job. It's called The Greatest Lie Ever Told, the Holocaust. Why do we talk so much about the Holocaust? Well, because they talk so much about the Holocaust theory. And when you promote something that is theoretically impossible and illogical as fact, and you use that as the basis for doing what you say they did to you upon others, then you need to know it is not merely a hoax and a fallacy and a lie, but a lie with a purpose. And that purpose comes right again out of the book of Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation, a seed line known as the Cain seed line. Adam, remember, was not the father of Cain. He was the father of Abel. And Cain did what to his brother Abel? He murdered him. Cold blood with no reason. This seed line produced, you can read about it in Genesis chapter 4. And you can read about the opposite seed line of God in Genesis chapter 5. Now, never the twain meet. Never the twain meet. We come back, I want to get ready to deal with a commentary that is so important, so necessary to understand the greatest lies of this particular age, in this year of 2018, so we may understand why it is that we are entering to this final phase. Stay tuned. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
The New World Order Thought Police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back now, and I'd like to just ask if Sam is ready. Sam, do we have that at 0211? If we do, let's play a little bit about the word, first of all, Holocaust. Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Yes, that's right. All right. Sammy is on the ball. Okay, we're going to begin it. Listening, very interesting.
In this first part, we wish to briefly demonstrate a bit of important history. The word Holocaust is mostly associated with what is regarded as the Jewish Holocaust, which is said that 6 million Jews were systematically murdered by Germans in concentration camps during World War II. Etymologically, a Holocaust is a complete burning, and the word was originally used in English back in the 13th century to describe a burnt offering, a sacrifice completely consumed by fire. However, many people around 1915 used the word to refer to Turkish massacres of Armenians. What is known as the Armenian Holocaust was the Ottoman government's systematic extermination of its minority Armenian subjects from their historic homeland. Within the territory constituting the present-day Republic of Turkey, the total number of people killed as a result has been estimated at between 1 and 1.5 million. So, how did it all happen? The Armenian genocide was premeditated by the year 1909, by a young Turk committee composed entirely of displaced Balkan Jews in the format of a syncretist Jewish Muslim sect. In 1909, the Jewish-led and Jewish-financed Committee for the Union and Progress overthrew the Turkish Empire, which at the time, controlled Palestine, a nation which Zionist Jews have long sought to take and claim as their own. As the Masons started the 1897 revolution in France, with the slogan, Liberty, Fraternity, Equality, young Turks used the same slogan in their revolution of 1909. The founder of the Young Turks was a Jew by the name of Emmanuel Carasso. Carasso set up the Young Turk secret society in the 1890s in Salonika, then part of Turkey, and now part of Greece. Carasso was also the grand master of an Italian Masonic lodge there, called Macedonia Resurrected. The lodge was the headquarters of the Young Turks, and all the top Young Turk leadership were members. During the Young Turk regime, Carasso continued to play a leading role. He met with the Sultan to inform him that he was overthrown. Carasso was in charge of putting the Sultan under house arrest. He ran the Young Turk intelligence network in the Balkans. And he was in charge of all food supplies in the empire during World War I. It is ironic that four centuries after the Turkish sultans welcomed the expelled European Jews into Turkey, certain Jews belonging to secret societies and to Zionism will kick the sultan out of power early in 20th century, destroy the Ottoman Empire, and celebrated their victory by massacring by proxy almost the whole Christian Armenian people, 1.5 million Armenians, 500,000 Greeks, and 500,000 Christian Assyrians and Arameans. This, of course, is the version of history that is well documented but rarely spoken of. This Jewish coup d'etat that overthrew the Sultan of Turkey was set and on the road to much bigger things. They wanted to foment a war between Christians and Muslims, which they predicted would start in the Balkans and grow into a world war. The idea was that if Muslims, Christians, Slavs and Teuton fought a long and hard war, these Jews believed that they would be left standing in Jerusalem. These facts were well known back then and were very regularly recorded in literature and the media. Raphael Lemkin was explicitly moved by the Armenian annihilation to coin the word genocide in 1943 and define systematic and premeditated exterminations within legal parameters. Although for the Zionists, broadening the meaning of the word Holocaust to encompass murder of segments of other population groups is a vicious attempt to diminish the right of the Jewish survivors of this horror to point the finger at the perpetrators. There is great Jewish indignation at using the term Holocaust and regard its use in almost any other context as an infringement of trademark rights.
By unanimous consent of the United States Holocaust Memorial Council, this award will henceforth be known as the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum Elie Wiesel Award.
We remember the suffering, we remember the fire, but what about the other side?
And what a place to pause and take that break. All right, folks, I think you'll find this to be historically quite true, quite accurate, and fascinating. We'll come back with more Rick Adams Uncensored here on Republic.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Alrighty, Radio Avenger back with you folks. Most important program today, most important history as a continuum of what we began last week with Matt Johnson on who these Bolsheviks really were, these mass murderers who escape, as the narrator has said in this particular video, virtually all mentioned today in any kind of historical reference. All we do hear about is that so-called 6 million. And of course, that number has been, as you know, revised downward many times, as well as the whole Holocaust story, which is preposterous and physically impossible on its surface. But we don't have to deal with that. We need to deal with the facts that in the media, who obviously we know control the media, they do, because the media is the key to the mind. And the mind must be controlled, particularly in these last days, in order for that mark of Cain to be implanted in people's mind. Okay, why? Because that mind, that mindset, that mark will lead to accepting the fake Jesus as the real. See, this deception has to happen, whether we like it or not. You know, political people, people who think they're going to fight this new world order, they're going to bring it down. I mean, there are so many people who are setting up so many rackets, raising money, and they're not going to do anything. And the reason is because God is in control of all of this. He's in control, and he is going to end it. This evil plague, this evil so-called Judaic plague in Jerusalem has to come to pass.
They have to take all of it. They have to kill and destroy anybody in their way that they have to. Not all, because they need people to blame for all of their problems. I mean, as far as I know, Hitler is not still alive. And the so-called Nazis of Germany are not still blamable for everything. So we have to find new demons. We have to find, or they have to find, new enemies all the time. And isn't that what we do in our military excursions all over the globe for them? Why, of course. Now, it's very simple to understand. I'm talking now almost in a baby-like fashion to people, because I know there are people who just tune in and just write to me later and say, I've never heard you before, but I'm hearing you now. And why do you say this? And why do you believe that? And this is why. Because to start a child eating, when a child is so small, you can't feed him a steak. You just can't give him a hamburger. You have to give him baby food, because they can't swallow. They can't chew. They can't accept it, folks. They cannot digest it. And this is what is true of all of the innocent people across the globe today, the people who God created. Now, God did not create these skinites, okay? Satan created them with God's, of course, approval. So we understand, how can they do evil and then call everybody else evil? Because that's what Satan does. Am I making it clear? Satan accuses God right from the beginning of being the instigator. You made me and you made me this way. No, God didn't make him that way. God made him perfect. He rebelled against God because he got too proud. He wanted to be as God. He wanted to take over the ship. And God doesn't like that. There's only one, and he's in control. And when Satan comes along, the cherubim of cherubims, and says, I can do a better job. I want to be savior of the world. He sentences himself to death. That's why he is now called the son of perdition. Perdition is death. He's already sentenced. He and the other demon angels must be put to death. They will die in the streets of Jerusalem. Because, see, they're going to make this mistake. They're going to kill two favored sons of God when he sends them back very shortly. And I believe them to be Elijah, for one, who is taken up in glory, and Moses or Enoch, but I think probably Moses, will be sent back to witness against this city. They, too, will be murdered, shot down like dogs, just like the Gazans and the Palestinians, shot to death, killed, whatever. But Satan will have to kill them, even though he's presenting himself as Jesus, you see? He's so evil, so deceptive. This is how he operates, two-faced. So when that happens, my friends, it's all over. Just a few days, was it 3 days later? They rise from the dead, and as they rise from the dead, that's when Jesus descends on the Mount of Olives in incredibly fiery, hot judgment. So no wonder they fear the fire. The fire will consume them. It didn't in the past, but it will be lit in the future when that day arrives very shortly. So let's get back now to this video, The Greatest Lie Ever Told, The Holocaust.
What did those who survived do with their survival?
Many people credit a Jewish man named Elie Wiesel with giving the term Holocaust its present meaning, but he does not feel that the word adequately describes the event and wishes it were used less frequently to describe significant occurrences as everyday tragedies. This perhaps is why he pushes to enforce the copyright, trademark, and service mark on the word Holocaust. In fact, the misuse of the word and the questioning of the Holocaust has landed people a jail sentence in some places, like France for an example. Elie Wiesel is a Jewish-American professor and Zionist think tank. He is the author of 57 books, including Night, a work based on his experiences as a prisoner in the Auschwitz concentration camps. Wiesel is also the advisory board chairman of the newspaper Algemeine Journal. Wiesel was criticized by former DePaul University professor and political scientist Norman Finkelstein in his book The Holocaust Industry. Finkelstein accuses Wiesel of promoting the uniqueness doctrine, which holds, according to Finkelstein, the Holocaust as the paramount of evil and therefore historically incomparable to other genocides. Hundreds of World War II survivors and descendants of survivors have signed a letter, published as an advertisement in Saturday's New York Times, condemning the massacre of Palestinians in Gaza, and calling for a complete boycott of Israel. According to the letter, the condemnation was prompted by an advertisement written by Eli Wiesel and published in major news outlets worldwide, accusing Hamas of child sacrifice, and for comparing the group to the Nazis. The letter, signed by 327 Jewish survivors and descendants of survivors and sponsored by the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network, accuses Wiesel of abuse of history in order to justify Israel's actions in the Gaza Strip. Since 2011, Wiesel has served as the chairman of the controversial Ir David Foundation Council. Ir David Foundation, commonly known as ELAD, meaning to the City of David, is a Jerusalem-based Israeli association which aims to strengthen the Jewish connection to Jerusalem, create a Jewish majority in Arab neighborhoods of East Jerusalem and renew the Jewish community in the City of David, which is also part of the neighborhood of Silwan. The foundation works to achieve its goals by tourism, education, archaeological excavations and obtaining homes in the area to establish a Jewish presence. Eli Wiesel has also been accused for using the Holocaust to justify the ever-expanding, illegal Israeli expansions into foreign territories. The story of the number 6 million was given judicial authority at the Nuremberg trials of German leaders between 1945 and 1949. Proceedings which proved to be the most disgraceful legal farce in history. For a far more detailed study of the iniquities of these trials, which as Field Marshal Montgomery said, made it a crime to lose a war. The establishment of the IMT at Nuremberg in November 1945 is assumed these days to have been an obvious choice for the post-World War II international community. But at the time, it was far from clear how best to deal with the surviving Nazi leaders. Confusion over the idea behind Nuremberg is exemplified by the attitude of the Soviets to the IMT. The Soviets always assumed that the trial was a propaganda exercise and that the defendants were guilty a priori. 1 week before the trial started, the Soviet Deputy Foreign Minister, Andrei Vyshinsky, infamously made a toast to the defendants with the words, "May their paths lead straight from the courthouse to the grave." The Soviets never altered their perception of Nuremberg as a show trial and were deeply critical of the subsequent acquittal of three of the defendants and the seven defendants who received prison sentences instead of the death penalty. Should anyone be misled into believing that the extermination of the Jews was proved at Nuremberg by evidence, they should consider the nature of the trials themselves, based as they were on a total disregard of sound legal principles of any kind. The accusers acted as prosecutors, judges and executioners. Guilt was assumed from the outset. Russians were also, in some instances, the judges. Russians whose military were guilty of committing war crimes against the Polish, in what is known as the Katyn Forest Massacre, where the number of deaths is estimated at about 22,000. Which includes about 8,000 Polish officers. The Soviet prosecutor attempted to blame this slaughter on the German defendants. At Nuremberg, ex post facto legislation was created, whereby men were tried for crimes which were only declared crimes after they had been allegedly committed. More disturbing, however, were the methods employed to extract statements and confessions at Nuremberg, particularly those from SS officers which were used to support the extermination charge. In a statement given to the American press on May 20, 1949, drew attention to the following cases of torture to secure such confessions. In the prison of the Schwabishall, he stated, officers of the SS Leibstandarte Adolf Hitler were flogged until they were soaked in blood, after which their sexual organs were trampled on as they lay prostrate on the ground. As in the notorious Marmady trials of private soldiers, the prisoners were hoisted in the air and beaten until they signed the confessions demanded of them. SS General Oswald Boll, the economic administrator of the concentration camp system, had his face smeared with feces and was subsequently beaten until he supplied his confession. In dealing with these cases, Senator McCarthy told the press, "I have heard evidence and read documentary proofs to the effect that the accused persons were beaten up, maltreated and physically tortured by methods which could only be conceived in sick brains. They were subjected to mock trials and pretended executions. They were told their families would be deprived of their ration cards. All these things were carried out with the approval of the public prosecutor in order to secure psychological atmosphere necessary for the extortion of the required confessions." For years, people around the world, the West in particular, have been told that 6 million Jews were systematically murdered by Germans in concentration camps during World War II. No scientifically valid proofs were ever adduced for the fantastic charge of 6 million. The only basis for the fantastic figure is an affidavit of November 26, 1945, extracted from a Nazi group leader, Dr. William Hoetl. Not that he knew, but that SS officer Adolf Eichmann had told him in August 1944 in Budapest that approximately 4 million Jews had been killed in the various extermination camps, while an additional 2 million met death in other ways. Even though Eichmann himself during the trial and even when facing death never corroborated this assertion, and even though it violated all norms of probability, it has eagerly been trumpeted about the world as gospel truth, and anyone questioning it has been smeared as a neo-Nazi or an anti-Semite. Eichmann himself, it should be noted, later called the Hoetl story nonsense, vigorously denied ever having made the alleged remark, and speculated that Hoetl may have picked up the figure from a radio or newspaper report. This statement was published in a book, New York, Farrar, Strauss and Giroux, 1983, pages 117 to 118. This remark has also been confirmed by the Institute for Historical Review. If it were not for Wilhelm Hoetl's role in branding into the world's consciousness the trademark 6 million figure, his place in history would likely be little more than a footnote. Besides this unproven claim, there has never been any conclusive evidence to suggest there were ever 6 million Jews being systematically murdered in German-run concentration camps. During the Nuremberg IMT, the SS was designated as a criminal organization, which meant that every member of the SS was automatically a war criminal. Even the members of the Waffen-SS who fought in battle. However, Lawrence Rees wrote that no attempt was ever made to enforce the view that the mere act of working in the SS at Auschwitz was a war crime. After the war, Poland became a communist country under the domination of the Soviet Union, and the prosecution of the SS men who worked in what is now Poland was turned over to the Polish government. Only 789 members of the Auschwitz staff ever faced justice, according to Lawrence Rees, and 673 of them were tried in Polish courts. Here now, for all the world to see, is a scanned image of an official International Red Cross document, an official documented figure suggesting the Holocaust never happened precisely the way we have been led to believe.
And we're going to pause on that note, my friends. We're going to be up against the break soon. You know, what you're hearing now echoes and magnifies some of what we have heard together before on this and other programs, by the way, on RBN and other venues. We now have, I believe, a monumental case of evidence that every single thing we have been told now, as Johnson said last week in the 20th century,
needs to be totally reexamined and totally thrown out and completely revised as far as anything historical is concerned, particularly the World War II era. It is the most dishonest, the most corrupt, the most evil thing that we have ever heard of on this planet in the history of this earth and heaven age since the garden. And no wonder Satan himself lies constantly. He murders and he slaughters, and so do his children. Oh, we'll come right back with breaking news in just a moment. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And ladies and gentlemen, so now we have you've heard the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Well, folks, you really haven't heard the rest of the story. There's so much more that we don't know. I mean, I knew years ago about the Katyn Forest Massacre, Operation Keelhaul under Eisenhower, and so on and so forth. I knew about the murder of Patton. You know, a governor, former governor, an official of Massachusetts, wrote a book on the Katyn Forest Massacre. Prior to that time, nobody knew the truth about Poland and the communist butchery that took place in Poland. at the same time that the National Socialists went into Poland. Both were fighting. Both were battling it out, and both were warring. Only one side is ever heard about, and that is the German side. The horrific alleged crimes that were committed by Germany, supposedly, many of which were totally and completely false. And Katyn, of course, was one of them, the most falsified of any fame, of any notoriety. And this guy, Peter Forcolo, I believe his name was, if I remember correctly, Peter Forcolo wrote the book, The Katyn Forest Massacre. He broke the record. He did the research on Katyn, and he exposed it, and of course it received very little notoriety. I think the John Birch Society and a few others actually carried the book and published and presented it and promulgated it throughout the independent media at that time. But of course, the media were not interested in hearing the truth about Katyn or the truth about the Soviet slave camps throughout Poland or anywhere else for that matter, even in Russia itself, which had all been forgotten by the media bosses. So history is bunk, as Henry Ford said, quite adequately, quite accurately. But that's just one of the many anomalies and many falsifications of World War II. The part about the Nuremberg trials I had heard about years ago as well. The torture confessions, as we now know them. Confessions, you know, that were brutally, brutally got from these officers, these SS officers. Tortured, you know, and mangled and so forth, and to the point where they said, yes, I killed a million Jews today. Yes, I killed a billion Jews today. That is totally flawed, totally unlawful, and totally illegal, totally immoral. But then again, what would you expect from Satan's children? Good things? No. What would you expect from Satan? Kindness and love and mercy, generosity, and of all things, truth? No. So you see, there are two seed lines, folks. How can we ignore the scriptures? The scriptures tell it all, but we don't listen to God. We listen to men. We listen to scientists. We listen to people that haven't got the answers because they don't even know the questions. I've proven that in medicine. I've proven it in health. I've proven it over and over again. Do you think it falls upon listening ears? No. It does not. It is completely, totally amiss from their minds. Hour number two coming up. We're going to continue and we will take calls. I promise you, but I have a very interesting earth-shattering announcement from the tiny little strip right now, right out of the Prime Minister's office. Stay tuned. Hour number two, Rick Adams.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
unanimous music.